Blog Talk Radio.
Best, brightest, and probably the most creative people in the world, or talk about subjects near and dear to my heart. Now, during this 30-minute program today, I'm going to focus on a special guest. Her name is Remy Chaussee, and I'm going to talk about her in just a minute. But first, a little background. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on my techniques and how I'm training coaches and others to use and spread this technology at www.mycoachtraining.com. And my goal today, as it is in every show, is that you walk away with something powerful that you can use in your life that will add to your motivation and nourish what I call your seed of success. So whether you're a coach or just want to transform your life, this show is for you. So listen up and take notes. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our show hotline, by the way, is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. If you're listening to this as a recorded podcast, you won't be able to call in, but thank you for listening anyway. Again, I'm Dr. Michael Craig. Our special guest tonight on Logical Soul Talk is Remy Chaussee. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's a best-selling author of Living Life as an Exclamation Point. You can get that on Amazon and elsewhere. And she's a speaker. She's a writer. She gives her real life story where she had an experience at age 12, which I'll let her tell you about, and how it brought her the strength that she has to do what she does today. She has a real interesting story, and her passion is to help others turn their challenges upside down, from teardrops, as she calls them, to exclamation points. And she's done this throughout her life. And as a teen, she earned awards as a tennis player, an international designer, and she was part of a dance troupe, and is a business professional. She has inspired people all around the globe, sharing her breakthrough methods for personal fulfillment and professional success. And she also acknowledges that optimism can be an advantage, but it's not enough to live life without struggle. She believes that we all have at least one true passion in life, and that a purpose for being here for most people is that they don't know what it is. So with some help, she helps people get back to that and find their exclamation point, as it were. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on Remy. That's how you pronounce your name, right? Remy Chaussee, is that correct?
Yeah, I get that's brilliant. You know, I get all kinds of pronunciations on my name because it's French, and you're doing a fine job.
Excellent. Well, I'm married to a German, so I have to keep my accents put my
keep your accent straight.
My accents on the right syllable. And then I'm fine. So I just wanted to welcome you to the show, Remy.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. I had a chance to check out some of your videos. She's got an interesting, I think it's remychaussee.com, is that correct?
Yes, so that's right, but you have to spell it.
Yeah, that's remychaussee.com.
Yeah.
And you get her free video, which I found quite interesting. She goes talking from teardrops to exclamation points. I thought that was a very appropriate metaphor there. And challenges about money and finding your values and how negatives can be flipped into positive, and something called your inner GPS system, which I'll ask you about later on.
Yeah,
but first, Remy, tell me a little bit about how you got started. What you said something about something happened to you at age 12 that changed your life. And what we do on this show is talk about early decisions, decisions that you made that created your life the way it is. So you're obviously on a trajectory towards success right now. So what were the experiences and the decisions you made early in life that led you to where you are right now?
Well, you know, Michael, I first want to tell, especially your females in the audience, where the exclamation points and the teardrops came from. I was at a speaking engagement one day, and I thought, I'm going to run to the mall and get some little exclamation point earrings, because I'm a girl. Mm-hmm. And as I walked around, I realized that all I could find were, you know, hearts and stars and teardrops. And in the jewelry industry, I think probably 90% of women's earrings are in a teardrop shape. And I was playing with them. I thought, well, look at that. You flip a teardrop on its head, and you get an exclamation point instead. Hmm. And so I ran through the mall buying up all these teardrop earrings and went to the jeweler and had him modify all of them, just flip them upside down and turn them into exclamation points. Because it really is that easy when you want to take a challenge and flip it on its head. It really is just as easy as looking at what's the opposite or let's turn it upside down.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what was the teardrop? You had a teardrop at age 12, as I understand.
I had a teardrop at age 12 with a home invasion.
Yeah. Wow, that's
yeah, it was kind of creepy. My mother had designed a house, custom designed, right near NASA when I was growing up. This was in the 60s, without any windows because she had a fear of peeping Toms.
Wow.
And so we did have, she also raised monkeys, and the monkeys' room was right next door to mine, if you can imagine that. They had a window, so they could go outside and play in their big cage, but the rest of the house had no windows. So one night I hear this loud thud that sounded like a monkey had been thrown against the wall that adjoined, you know, my bedroom to their room, and mm-hmm. it just scared the daylights out of me, and sure enough, somebody was breaking in. And I thought, if I make a run for the front door, they're going to see me, whoever's in the house, and I was just terrified. But I made a run for the front door, ran across the street to my girlfriend's house, Lisa, and her dad was working on a car in the driveway. And being from Texas, you know, the first thing he did was he stomped through his own house in his own cowboy boots, pulled out his shotgun, because that was right. pretty normal in Texas in those days, and took his German Shepherd back to my house, shoved her in the front door, sat in my driveway like the rifleman, and waited for the cops to come. And they came, and the burglars had gotten away. They fell into the pool and over the back fence. They got away. But when my mother got home, she called me a liar. She didn't believe me. She totally invalidated me and said I'd made the whole thing up. And Lisa's dad did believe me. It was like I mattered. And I sat in the driveway just bawling, not because of the home invasion, but mm-hmm. because I mattered to somebody. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those early life decisions, to be around people who recognize and honor who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was your neighbor's dad that did that? And,
yeah.
So neither one of your parents bought into it, huh?
No.
Oh.
No. My mother thought that I made it up so I could go spend the night at Lisa's house and flirt with her big brother. And I'm thinking, this is so insane.
Mm.
Cop reports didn't matter. And so that's why the opening chapter in my book is called Overcoming Invalidation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think we sometimes let people around us that, you know, squash us and tell us that we're not real and what we think doesn't matter.
Yeah, I had a similar experience when I was a kid. I was at summer camp and got on this bus that was reserved for the kids who paid more at summer camp to take them on this big excursion.
Yeah.
And I just got on the bus and went on the big excursion with them. And later on, I got back, and the friends of my parents was actually on the bus, too. And then when I got back, he totally denied I was on the bus. And it was like he was sort of embarrassed, I would imagine.
Yeah,
But the point is that, yeah, it's like you think you're telling the truth as a kid, and then suddenly you find out that adults don't want to hear the truth, or else mm-hmm. they, yeah. Interesting. So tell me about your book. When did that come out?
The book has been out. It came out a few months ago. It's been very popular. I mm-hmm. love it when somebody walks up and says, it's like you wrote the book for me.
Wow.
I just love that, yeah.
Well, tell me about your inner GPS system. I like that in your fourth video, I believe it was. You talk about whether you're going for the status quo or you're moving forward. And you talked about paying attention to nature's signals.
Yeah.
You mentioned something. And the reason it interested me is because I use a technique, muscle testing, which tests how you feel inside and tests whether or not you're going in this direction or that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you're just sort of tuning into a feeling about the thing. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, it's a feeling. It's the difference between contraction and expansion. It's like your mm-hmm. red light, green light signal.
Right.
And, you know, you have these moments where, I'll give you a for instance. When I lived in Texas a long, long time ago, I pulled up in front of the convention center for some trade show, and I just turned and looked back at my car, and I didn't know why. And I walked a few more steps and turned and looked back at my car again. I couldn't figure out what this obsession was to turn and look at my car. And the last time I turned and looked, there was a car parked right next to me that had four or five young guys in it, you know, college guys in it. And I just thought, well, it's probably nothing. And then when I came back out of the trade show, my car had been stolen.
Wow.
Most likely by the fellow sitting next to me, because they were obviously up to no good. But it was that little feeling of contraction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas you might get an opportunity for a new job and you're just dancing through the house and singing at the top of your lungs and you're feeling expanded,
mm-hmm.
rather than having these little doubts and questions creep in which make you feel contracted.
Right.
So, it's your own little red light, green light.
I tell you, that's something that a lot of people, particularly women, pay more attention to than men,
yeah.
quite frankly, because
yeah.
men just tend to sort of have a goal and go for it, and
yeah.
feelings don't matter in some way.
Yeah.
You know, rightly or wrongly, that's how men think a lot of times. So,
yeah.
but women seem to be more in touch with that intuition. And I've found that even testing men sometimes in muscle testing, it's like the macho thing. They're not going to go weak no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing that if you're open to feedback, then you can get that inner voice speaking to you or get a read on the muscle test or whatever that is. Whereas if you're not open to it, it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be shut down, and I guess that involves a decision, doesn't it?
Well, I know I carry a very strong male energy. I have my whole life, and
mm-hmm.
for my first 40 years, I walked around saying I just don't have intuition. I just don't. I mean, that was the story I told myself.
Yeah. Wow.
Turns out it was a
okay.
lie.
So you learn to recapture that, I suppose. I take it.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of if you can think of three situations in your life where you knew better. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it was getting into the wrong relationship where you said, I knew better than to do that.
Yep,
if
been
you
there.
Can remember three times, then see if you can remember three more. And if you'll sit and make a list, you'll find that these instincts have been with you your whole life. You just didn't know that's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you do an interesting process here. You say, think of the obstacle and then list, I think it was five possible solutions.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go into is it red, green, or yellow? And you want to talk a little bit about that, how that works?
Well, I kind of look at it like this. If you have a challenge or an obstacle, if you can come up with one positive about it, you can
mm-hmm.
come up with five. And if you can come up with five, you can come up with 10. And if you can come up with 10, you can come up with 20 positive things. And before you ever get to 20, you'll find the actual solution. You'll find your green light.
That's a good thing to know. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, just start with one.
Right. Start with the first one. You got it.
Just start with the first one.
Tell me, now, you talk about intuition and red light, green lights, and yellow lights and stuff. Was that in effect when you were a real estate agent and you were doing the real estate thing back in 2007, I think before the crash happened, and
yeah.
you were a real estate agent and an investor. I was an investor, so I understand. I've sort of been where you were.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened then and what happened after that.
You mean the transition into the book, or are you?
Or the transition from how you handled the change, the crash and
the
real
change.
Estate changes and things like that. What was going on? What was going on with you then? Just interesting to hear the story about it, because you write about it in your book. So
yeah, I write about it in the book. I went into the office one day and noticed that my manager and my broker had these question marks swimming overhead. They didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, well, I'm going to go out and interview some real estate agents, some popular ones that are still feeling success, and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed as I did that, these agents wouldn't answer the questions that I was asking them. They would not answer the interview questions. I would say, what do you do here and what have you done here? Instead, they were answering and being this questions, like, you know, what attitude do you have? What's your beingness? Who are you? Are you showing up as a real person?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I decided to write the book, and it began to morph from a real estate book into a beingness versus doingness book. Then it morphed into an optimism book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was out for a walk one day. Oh, gosh, this was around sunset. And I walked past this old Victorian house, and there were some small children playing inside the front door. The front door was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in their underwear, so I'm thinking they must have just had a bath. And the pizza delivery guy pulled up right in front of the house, and he steps out with his pizza, right? And this one little boy in his underwear comes tearing down the front sidewalk screaming, pizza! And I'm thinking he's going to knock this poor guy over, right? He's spinning circles around the guy's waist, pizza, pizza, and the poor guy's trying not to drop it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, now, secretly on the inside, isn't that how we all feel when the pizza comes?
Right.
And I thought, that little kid has his exclamation points, and that's really how the book kind of morphed from being about real estate into being about optimism.
Isn't that true? It's like we're kids. We all have that exclamation point. We all have
yeah.
that wow factor. You know, like everything's a wow. Like look at the shiny red car. Look at everything's new. You know.
Yeah. I mean, which one feels different? Let's get a pizza. Period. Or let's get a pizza! Exclamation point.
Well, sounds like you're enjoying life now. What are you doing besides? I mean, you've written your book, obviously. You're promoting that. But what else is going on in your life?
Well, I've got some great programs around finding your passionate life. We just wrapped up one at findyourpassionatelife.com, which this is probably the biggest question I get is how do you find your passions? How do you find your purpose? Mm. And I just did some research on this last week, and this is going to stun you. 35 million people in America, when asked what's your greatest fear,
mm-hmm.
it's that I won't be able to find my purpose in life or that I'll find it and I won't know how to fulfill it. That was kind of a stunning number to me.
You said 30 million people?
35 million people, just in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That doesn't include Australia and England and all of our other friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, 35 million people could not find their path, or they had the fear that they wouldn't be able to find it. Is that what you're saying?
When asked, what's your greatest fear?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And where'd you find that from? I'm just curious as a source on that.
I just did some independent research. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you asked people.
Yeah.
So you asked people what their greatest fear was, and that's what you got back.
I went on some different websites that were polling about
uh-huh.
about fear, about what's your
that's
greatest
it.
Fear. Yeah, picked
that's
up a
it.
Couple of books, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I'm always taking notes here because I'm curious as to how this the information comes about because I do a lot of the same things. So thank you for that. I appreciate
it. Yeah.
What else do you want to share with people about your book?
Well, good question. I would say that when you're thinking in terms of looking for your passions, I can give you a couple of warm-up questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
one would be, a natural euphoria comes over me when I'm blank.
Ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or I'm not very good at it, but I love to blank.
Uh-huh.
Or one of my favorites, you'd be surprised to find out this secret about me, but I really love to blank.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good warm-up questions.
Interesting way to ask the question.
Yeah.
You use those in your workshop, I take it.
Say that again, Michael.
I think you have a workshop that you teach also. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That you use those in?
Yeah, the findyourpassionatelife.com. We cover passions and then we go even deeper into purpose. Because the thing about purpose is that while passions could just be a hobby, it's nothing that you really need to monetize or do anything with. It's just what brings you joy.
Mm-hmm.
When you go deeper into purpose, now you're getting out of the comfort area and out of the work, and you begin to look at, how can I make a difference on the planet? What's my calling?
Right.
What's my reason for being here?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really the deepest thing there is, and
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like the why. Like
mm-hmm.
Nietzsche says, you with any why, you can overcome any how, which is a real, real powerful thing. That was a really powerful statement for me because it changed my life. So we're talking with Raimi Chausset. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And we're on Logical. I'm Dr. Michael Craig. This is Logical Soul Talk. The call-in number, area code 347-843-4544. Please call in and press 1 to raise your hand, ask Raimi a question, or make a comment. Anything you want to talk about, we're here to talk. Raimi can answer questions. I just want to say hi. Do that as well. So 347-843-4544 is the number. If you're listening to this as a recorded podcast, you won't be able to call in. But again, thank you for listening, and I hope you stay tuned every Tuesday or check in to Logical Soul Talk on blogtalkradio.com to hear more great interviews. Now, Raimi, you've got some tell us about, I think it was a second video that you present. The videos, by the way, you can go to Raimi, I think it's RaimiChausset.com, is that correct, where they get the
That's
free
right.
video series? And you can get, I think the second video talked about challenges about money. And the real thing, you talked something about personal values and purpose and also personal truths deep down.
Uh-huh.
Talk a little bit about that and give your solution to that because you had a real elegant solution on that.
Well, I wish that I had a photographic memory of what those 5 free videos are, and I just don't.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I'll ask you then.
No, and I'll tell you why, because it's a funny story why. I was sitting down with somebody the other day, and I said, I'm ready to create a revolution. And she's like, what kind of revolution? And I'm like, a how to get unstuck revolution. And so I've been actually compiling. I've got hundreds of tips on how to get unstuck.
Uh-huh.
So to remember the 5 that are on the website, I don't remember.
You got too many exclamation points floating around in there, Rami.
I know, right?
Okay.
I can give you five brand new tips on how to get unstuck if you like, though. But I may not have a photographic memory on those.
Right. I think it was you talked about personal values, and mm-hmm. you said something. I just took a few notes here. I wish I didn't. I took better notes, but they were just like one or two word things here. You talk about personal values, finding your purpose, and then finding your personal truth deep down inside, which I thought was quite interesting because I do the same kind of work in terms of digging down what are the deepest decisions, you call them personal truths, that affect your life and how can you change that. And very interesting to see the corollary there.
I'll do this with people sometime when they say that they're feeling stuck. I'll ask them, well, let's find something to believe in. Let's make a list. What do you believe in? Mm-hmm. And I was with a gal the other day, and she said, well, me. I believe in me. And she said, I believe in God. I believe in divine order. I believe that things happen for a reason. So when you find something to believe in, instead of telling yourself your own lies that have been floating around in your head, mm-hmm. that often can pull you out of being stuck. And it's funny, when I ask people this question, find something to believe in, me is often the very first answer they come up with.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Believe
you wouldn't
in
think
me.
So by listening to them, but
really, or the idea of me.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then the next question is, well, who are you?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And
that's
then
when we have to start.
Off the deep end. Yeah.
Yeah. And then often I'll let people know that it's our excuses that keep us stuck. And so we want to write down all those reasons that we think we can't do something. Mm-hmm. Write down 20 of them, 100 of them, 14 pages of them, right until next Tuesday if you need to. But at some point, your brain will actually make a switch and begin to argue with you. And it'll start coming up with all the reasons why you can do something.
Wow.
And that, again, is about finding your own values and finding learning to believe in yourself again.
Right. You seem to be a very creative, energetic person, Rami, and I imagine growing up with monkeys next to you had something to do with that, didn't it?
I don't have any idea.
I find that a fascinating story. It's like, well, we didn't have any windows in the house, but we had lots of monkeys in the room.
We had some monkeys running around.
A fascinating story. I like that. That's like a book in and of itself, How to Live with Monkeys with No Windows. No windows and monkeys. Fascinating. Only in Texas, I guess.
Only in Texas. That's right. Well, like I say, this is back in the 60s when we didn't have homeowners associations to tell us what to
do. Yeah, those are good old days, right? Okay. Well, Rami, thank you so much. We're talking with Rami Chalcey. She's not French, but she has a French name. And the phone number to call in is 347-843-4544. This is Logical Soul Talk. I'm Dr. Michael Craig. Please call in, ask a question, make a comment, do whatever you want. We're here. Rami, tell me about something interesting you discovered this week.
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I'll tell you my favorite thing I learned this week.
Okay.
And that is the difference between, how deep can I go?
Hey, we're pretty deep here on this show. We get into all sorts of stuff, so go ahead.
I was interviewing somebody I do a video series for my own Facebook forum, and I was interviewing a fellow named Tom Moore,
mm-hmm.
and he's an angel expert,
uh-huh.
and
okay.
he came up with what he says is the only spiritual tool that you'll ever need, and that is to always ask your guardian angel for a most benevolent outcome.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that we all have at least one guardian angel, and so we have this network of guardian angels on the entire planet. So when we ask for a most benevolent outcome, our guardian angel, my guardian angel, will go and talk to your guardian angel. They'll get together and help create a most benevolent outcome for both of us.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
It's so fascinating to see how things are expressed so differently. I was talking to Joe Vitale the other day. You know, you probably heard of him.
Oh, yes.
But he was talking about the process. He wrote a book called Zero Limits with a Hawaiian guy, doctor, and they use a process called the new or the personal ID or whatever it is, Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
You pronounce it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a fascinating process where you're talking about basically you take total responsibility, complete responsibility for everything that comes into your mind, into your heart,
mm-hmm.
and then basically you say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you.
Yeah.
And the whole thing
yeah.
is directed toward any negativity that exists. which I would imagine is very similar to the guardian angel concept of just throwing it out there. Because really, if you look into the Huna or the Hawaiian hierarchy of understanding of what's the word I'm looking for here, celestial hierarchy, they talk about everything is yourself. We've got a high, middle, and low self, and above the high self is the divinity or the company of high selves is what Max Freedom Long talked about it in his books, the early books, and very interesting how you know this whole thing just sort of ties together. So very good thing to learn. Thank you for sharing that. That's a fascinating thing. Tom Moore is what? Is he an author or a host?
He's an author. You know, he's an author. His book is called The Gentle Way. Uh-huh. And he had so many people write him emails about how they had been using this concept of the most benevolent outcome that uh-huh. his second book is nothing but those stories, which I think is pretty cool.
Excellent.
And I used it myself. I drove down to San Diego and I wanted to get, they have this store there that makes handmade peanut butter uh-huh. called Spread. It's really fantastic. And so I drove all the way down there, several hours away, and could not get a parking spot to save my life. It was Friday night, date night. And I circled the block a few times, and I was just about to give up. And then I said, okay, dear angels, I'm asking for a most benevolent outcome for a front door parking space. Thank you. And I spun around the block, and there was nothing there. And I thought, oh, well, I give up. I'm going home. And I hit on a one-way sign, and I had to circle the block the other direction. And when I did, there were three empty parking spaces right in front of the front door. It was so funny.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works.
It's been working for me. It's probably the big thing of the week.
Right. I think getting in touch with that's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah. That's a good demonstration. I love those demonstrations. Every once in a while they work for me.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not my will, but thy will be done. But you know they do work occasionally.
Yes, so. Exactly.
Fascinating. So do you have any animals now? I mean, you had monkeys growing up. Do you keep pets now?
No. I just have my cat, Boo, right now. How about you?
Well, our cat died last August. And we've been in mourning ever since. I haven't got another one yet, but we're holding out for a good one here. So we're going to get another one soon, I hope.
I know a lot of people say that you can't replace the old pet, but I got to tell you, it's the best medicine.
Oh, yeah. I know it is. I've just been so busy, I haven't, you know, taken the time, I guess is the word.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you have family, Rainey?
I do have family. I do have family. My mom still lives in Texas. Yeehaw.
Okay. Does she still live in a windowless house, or has she got windows now?
I think she's got windows now. I have not seen the house. She built the house, but I don't think in this day and age that any city would approve plans for a house without windows.
Yeah, I think they want you to be able to escape.
Exactly.
Fire
exactly.
is too big a thing, yeah. Interesting. So a shout out to, what's her name, Miss Chalze?
Susan. Susan is her name. Yeah, we'll give her a shout out.
Okay. Well, hey, yeah. Susan, I hope you're listening in, and your daughter's doing a great job here. So thanks for sharing the monkey story. I mean, you know, being there.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You should believe her because she's telling the truth now. Okay, so. Rainey, it's been a delight talking to you. We just got another minute here. Anything else you want to say? We've got 30 seconds for you.
30 seconds. Any challenge, any negative can be flipped into a positive. It may take a little time, but start with that one positive thing, and it'll happen for you. It might happen in the next hour. It might happen in the next year.
Wow. Okay. Well, I believe that. And those of you listening, this is Rainey Chalze. She's written a book. And her book is hold on a second. Her book is called Living Life as an Exclamation Point. And you can go to remychausse.com. That's remychausse.com and get her free videos. And you can order her book and so forth. This is Dr. Michael Craig. This is Logical Soul Talk. Next week, we're going to talk with Coach Phyllis Reardon. We're going to talk about life coaching and her experiences with that and what she can share with you. It'll be a live call-in, so you'll be able to call in, ask her, Coach Reardon, Coach Phyllis, as she calls herself, your questions about life and about how to set goals, how to be accountable, or how to get accountability for what you want to achieve in life. So join us on the 10th of April. That's Tuesday afternoon or evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Eastern Time on Logical Soul Talk. And this is Dr. Michael Craig. Thank you for joining. Oh, Raimi, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Normally we just have a minute here at the end where you can talk, and if you want to just say something that you meant to say during the show, you can say it now. And people, it's not streaming live, so people are listening live, but it is for a recorded podcast later. So anything you want to share with people? Any last-minute thoughts?
Well, probably the biggest question that I get is how to stay positive around negative people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so surprised because I thought, haven't we talked about this for years and years? That the technique that I use is a gesture. Not the gesture you think of. It's a stop sign hand. If somebody says something inappropriate to you or they begin to speak negatively, you put up your stop sign hand. If they're being really negative, block their visual so they can't see your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll cause them to, it'll break their train of thought. And for most people, they'll stop and think, I'm sorry, was I being inappropriate? I mean, they'll stop and question what they just said. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good technique. That's a good tip.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Raimi, it's been a real pleasure. And I wish you the best for your book and your website and your courses. And we'll have to have you on again sometime. So,
perfect. Fabulous.
Keep us informed of what's going on, and I'm on your list now, so I'll probably hear about it. So,
okay. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
So take care, and thank you for joining us, Raimi, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.